Welcome to Blurred Vision Reviews. I'm Greg.
And I'm Yasin McGee, as always.
As always, back. You've been on a little bit of a hiatus.
Yes. Yeah.
And
a while ago.
You're back. You're back in action, just like Jackie Chan. He's been gone for a while.
Exactly. So we haven't seen our Chinese friend in a long time, and now he's back.
That's right.
And he really swung for the fences on this one.
Huh, he went all out, and
he went all out.
We're gonna dive into it a lot deeper here with our review of The Foreigner, starring Jackie Chan.
Exactly.
I was having a case of the Mondays on a Friday. I asked Greg and Tony if they'd seen a good movie, they should send it my way. And they made me laugh, they seemed to read my mind. I thought, hey, these reviews, they're a pretty good time. Well, it's better than having the blues. It's better than having dog shit on my brand new pair of shoes. And it's better than watching my grandfather while he watches the news. It's Blurred Vision Review.
Everyone's already inside. Bye, Dad.
An explosion rocked the city today.
20,000 pounds for the names of the bombers. That's not how we do things here.
Hello?
Mr. Hennessy, he's here again.
That's 5 days in a row now.
What does he want?
His daughter was killed in the bombing.
Mr. Hennessy, please find out the names of the bombers.
I work for the government, not terrorists.
You used to work for them.
I don't know who the bombers are.
I don't believe in you.
It's him.
You would tell me the names of the bombers.
The kill me on Tuesday.
He's trained.
Bury me on Wednesday.
Maybe special forces.
Mom for me Thursday.
Stop! She's wired to blue!
Then you gotta let me go.
He just wants you to know he can get to you.
What is going on?
He thinks I know who blew up his daughter.
Do you?
Then you gotta let me go.
Somebody say a prayer for me.
To kill me on Friday.
Of half the city looking for him.
Bury me on Sunday. Mom for me Monday. Then you gotta let me go. You gotta let me go.
He's an old man running circles around a lot of us.
He's ahead of us every step of the way.
Open it up.
You have no idea who you're dealing with.
Well, those prophets that took the leg while they took the soul. Somebody say a prayer for them.
Yes, I do. Do you?
All right, how you been, Yenzer? What's new with you?
Not much. I got a new apartment. You know, we're getting further away from the murder here in Chicago.
That's good.
So yeah, that's actually pretty nice. So there's the constant dark cloud of homicide that is floating over half, about 75% of the city at all times. We're kind of getting into the 25 percentile here, so you know, just that's about it.
Things
are going pretty well here with the job and the wife and the son, and going pretty well.
You're slowly moving your way towards the suburbs, is essentially what.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'm in an age right now where it's you know, I'm too young for the hipster neighborhood. I'm too old for the hipster neighborhoods, but I'm too young for the, you know, for the suburbs. But let's get a good assault or violence or something to happen here in Chicago will probably push me out to you know, the suburbs at some point. So yeah, a nice condo flat after an armed robbery.
Yep, after you get the shit kicked out of you.
push me out to Buffalo Grove,
yeah.
Up by the Bryn Mawr Country Club, you We're slowly inching that way. I think that's how that happens. It's just people just, you know, after random acts of violence, you just make your way out of the suburbs.
Yeah, you get to a point in your life where you're just like, you know what? I'm not really into that anymore. I'm going to get away from that.
I kind of want to live.
Exactly. Yeah.
So no matter how much Trevor Noah, you know, says that the violence in Chicago is not actually real. Yeah. No, it is.
Yeah. It's a thing. It's a thing. Yeah. All right. So
you take a dark conversation to something a little lighter, but let's go.
So you just got back from The Foreigner. I saw it yesterday.
I just got done having a road deep dish. A road deep dish.
A roadie.
A roadie, on my way in. So, you know, I'm ready to go.
Let's do this. We're burning the midnight oil here for the our millions of fans.
Yeah, we're done with it. I mean, it's only 11 o'clock.
That's still pretty. I mean, this is we're talking about a work night, man. It's pretty late.
This is 11 o'clock on a Wednesday. I mean, we're you know.
This is how dedicated we are.
Well, we're dedicated to our legion of 90. Wait, we're up to 90,000 fans?
Yeah, I think that. Yep. Last time I checked. Yeah. I mean, we're film critics now. This is our job. This is what we do.
We're shy of about 100 grand, you know.
Yeah,
100K.
Exactly.
All right.
All right. So we have 2017's The Foreigner. This is directed by Martin Campbell. I don't know anything he did before, but who cares? Starring Jackie Chan as Kwang Nong Min, Pierce Brosnan as Liam Hennessy, and Bruce Bolton as sidekick to Pierce Brosnan. That's basically the only people that we should talk about in this movie.
I'm glad to see Bruce Bolton is getting work. I'm glad to see it. I'm glad to see the Game of Thrones. Because like Breaking Bad, you know, no one has gotten worked after Breaking Bad. Like Better Call Saul, that's about it.
Yep.
And everyone else kind of like had been pushed away. But I'm glad to see the GOT cast getting some work.
They're branching out there. So the main idea of The Foreigner, the synopsis here, is a humble businessman with a buried past seeks justice when his daughter is killed in an act of terrorism. A cat-and-mouse conflict ensues with the government official whose past may hold clues to the killer's identities. And, Yinzer, is this anything like the movie?
So I saw my wife, who speaks English as a third language, and it's kind of sad. Is like she actually understood more than I did. I don't know how that actually worked out, but there was so much going on in this movie, and they were trying to reprise the Irish terrorist role.
Yeah, you know, really gutsy call to bring that back in 2017.
Yeah, bringing it back. Yeah, bringing the Irish back into the fold. it was a gutsy call, but I don't know. It was tough to follow, and I like we were talking about before we actually got on the script here that what. Was the movie about the IRA or was it about the grieving father with the U.S. military special forces skills, which is a story that's been beaten to death by Hollywood. So, you know, we haven't seen Irish terrorists in a while since, Danny Boyle and what was it?
Well, even just in real life, they mention it many times in the movie. So basically, Jackie Chan is just this nice, quiet guy who runs his own restaurant. He's got a daughter. Daughter gets blown up in a blast that this new faction of the IRA is taking responsibility for. So he goes and finds Pierce Brosnan is an ex-IRA guy who now works for the British government.
Yeah,
and so that's kind of the connection, but yeah, in the movie, Pierce Brosnan constantly talks about we have had peace for 32 years, or you know, like that was the last time the IRA was a relevant bad guy in anything.
Yeah, exactly.
It's and
the
beginning of this movie threw me off so much. There, Jackie Chan is just so sad. And he does it pretty well, and but there's that switch that when he like decides he's gonna seek revenge on everybody, I was laughing my ass off. He's in his kid's room and he's collecting like memories and pictures, and then he goes into the basement of his restaurant and just burns all of the stuff from his kid. What? Yeah, why exactly. would you do this?
You know what's really funny? It's like, so
he's just staring
Oksana,
like a dead
Oksana,
dead
and
stare.
Oksana goes, why is he doing this? and I looked at Oksana, I said, nothing is more dangerous than a man who has nothing.
Yeah, but even like,
and I was like,
in my mind, I'm thinking like, wouldn't you want to keep those so you can remember
yeah,
your daughter
exactly.
by?
No. He was separating himself from this family. He was just a man on a mission. But like his character, yeah, I understand like Jackie Chan, and I love Jackie Chan. I'm a huge fan. But he was really trying to go for the dramatic broken man, the tragic man kind of look.
Yeah.
And I you know, the majority of the movie features the IRA. No, actually, like a subdivision of the IRA, like the young subdivision of IRA. You know, not the actual guys in power. But you know, if the movie only featured about 30% of Jackie Chan just kind of looking sad.
Yeah.
And there's only really about like maybe 2% of him whooping ass, and maybe 1%. Of that moment where you can tell he's doing his own stunts, you know what I mean? Like that was a big thing about his movies throughout the years. Like, oh man, he really did that.
Right.
And then you'd see the outtakes afterwards where he like broke his leg or whatever.
Yep.
And, but this movie, yeah, they touched on that. They're like, hey, we're going to show Jackie Chan the more action style type of character, but it actually has a heart of gold, but a dark soul.
This is a movie you can really definitely tell like Jackie Chan is old because of his fight scenes.
Oh, he's an old man.
His fight scenes, the whole time I was thinking like, I know he does his own stunts. I feel terrible for Jackie Chan. He's so old because he looks old when he was in those fight scenes too. I kind of like they kind of showed, and he's always done this in his movies where he gets the shit kicked out of him. He's not like a John Wick or a superhero that doesn't get hurt. He gets the shit kicked out of him in pretty much all of his movies.
He's an old man. Like, he's 61. My dad's 65. Like,
you imagine your dad doing a karate movie right now?
Yeah, the level of physical activity that Jackie Chan has. Like, I get it. You're hanging up, but I think they minimize that. They minimize that through much of the movie. So, they minimize it so much that you kind of lose track of Jackie Chan throughout the movie.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
Mainly focused on the IRA and Pierce Brosnan.
This is not a Jackie Chan movie. This is a terrorist movie.
No, it's not.
It's about terrorism.
It's not a Jackie Chan movie.
Yeah, it's about terrorism in the UK.
Jackie Chan is more of an extra than he is an actual lead character. He's not even really a double. He's not even really a supporting character. He's really not.
He's just there at the beginning and he's there at the end. And that's basically
it. He's kind of like the ex-CIA plug that Hollywood wants to do in all their films. So
yeah. Yep. And Pierce Brosnan, we were talking about this a little bit before, the worst worst Irish accent I've heard in a long time.
Oh my god! And I we're American, and this has nothing to do about our lineage, but like just the Irish people that I know and the Irish movies that I've seen, like it's really bad. There's actually a few points because what's really funny is like if you really the closer you get to the Queens, the closer you get to the American accent, the true American accent, like New England accent. I know it sounds ridiculous, but this is true. But there's actually one point where his like American/Queens accent pops through kind of when he's freaking out against the IRA members that are sitting at the round and then at the board table, whatever. He kind of starts speaking in like an American accent, American slash Queens accent. It's kind of bizarre.
It's all jumbled, and he talks so slow. The whole time, all I can think is like he has to think about this every word because he's talking so slow. We've had peace for 32 years.
Exactly. Like we were saying before we got on the cast, but. It's almost like he spent his whole life, you know, trying to get rid of his Irish accent, and then this is his time to revisit it. And it's almost as if you were to do your Minnesota accent in a stereotypical way, and I were to do my Pittsburgh accent, we were about to do that. That's kind of like, and people look at us like, what do you
yeah, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah. Exactly. That's not even close to being the truth to how people actually speak. So
I have a theory on this movie, Yinzer. No. I would put money on it that this was a script written by a screenwriter in the 80s that was doing a lot of cocaine. Because this movie.
You think so?
This is a straight up 80s plot of a movie. The Irish IRA. Doing terrorism attacks.
I can see that. Yeah. And exactly.
There's so many, like, this movie's fucking bonkers. It goes in so many different directions. And there's so many points where I was watching it, just laughing, thinking, like, why is this a part of the movie? Like, the nephew and his love interest.
About? Yeah.
And, like...
But it's like George R. R. Martin, where he kind of goes down these rabbit holes in these different plot lines, and you're okay, we're gonna explore this. I only have an hour and a half of attention span. I'll push it to 2 hours.
I want to see. I paid money to see Jackie Chan kick some ass.
Well, there was one point we're sitting there, and all I could think about was, when is this movie gonna end? Because we keep on because we keep on visiting these plot lines and these trajectories that kind of go on the left and the right. It was really hard to keep up with. But yeah, like you were saying, it's almost as if someone just blasted an eight ball, wrote this out 1985 because the IRA was a hot story.
Yeah, tons of people were dying.
Exactly. The IRA was a hot story. And then all of a sudden it resurfaced because it's like, okay, we've beaten the Muslim terrorist to death story, and we're going to – and I don't know if you notice in the previews, you know, thank you for your service kind of military type of movies. We're going to kind of get away from that. We're going to come back to the Devil's Own with Harrison Ford and Brad Pitt. And we're going to revisit the Irish terrorist, the white terrorist.
The best thing about this too is the casting even makes it seem like it was meant for the 80s. Who was bigger than Jackie Chan and Pierce Brosnan in the
80s? That's a good point. That's a good point.
Clearly they just like looked at this movie had been pitched and was ready to go in the 80s. Something happened, and they just found it in, like, a warehouse. They called up Jackie Chan, Pierce Brosnan, like, hey, remember we were going to do that? Like, oh, shit, yeah. I was like, well,
yeah, exactly.
You guys doing anything next week? Sure, let's go. It's just, it's fucking bonkers. I wrote down some notes because I don't know about you, but I was so confused from the start of this movie.
Extremely confused.
When the IRA calls in the attack. I didn't know what the fuck was going on. I was like, who are they calling? Who are these people in this office? Like, who's any of these characters? There's a bunch of times I didn't make the connection that the one chick, so there's a girl that was wearing like different disguises, and I didn't make the connection until like the very end that she was the same person. The whole time I was like, who's this fucking person?
So many,
Why do I care about these two people talking in a bar together? It was so... And that's why, I mean, it had to be a cocaine-riddled script.
Oh, yeah, definitely. There was just so many plot lines.
Just, like, so many assumptions. I can just see the guy like, yeah. And then, okay, and then we have this character go over here, meet this guy. And then, and then they bang. And then,
there was a sad attempt to bring, like, a sexual component into it, too. And there was an incest.
Yes.
There was an incest component
I was laughing.
I was like, wait, wait. And then he clipped her. I, you know, that was a spoiler alert, but like, Jesus Christ.
That was the best thing, is that it's the nephew, Pierce Brosnan's nephew and his wife. And we don't know which side is it, the blood side or the non, like, we don't know if he's related to her or not. They never really clarify it. But when he first shows up, the nephew, like, he, like, gives, like, a little sly, like, smile at her. And I was just thinking, like, oh, that's really weird acting choice. Made it just seem like he wants to bang her. And then, shit, next scene, he's knocking on the hotel door.
Pierce is hooking up with, he was shacking up with some scafoozy, like, in the beginning. And then, like, that was his wife that called. And then there was, you know.
But why? This nephew has apparently been living in New York for years and years and years.
Yeah. Why? He's come back to Plaza.
How long have they been, like, sexting each other or, like?
I don't know. It's so weird.
Like, that's why it's from the 80s, because nephew's banging their aunt, so it's apparently probably not as crazy as it seems today.
Exactly. It was it, yeah. And it was also, like, you know how Hollywood kind of, they always have to kind of throw in the fact, and you know this, they always have to throw in the fact that someone's from New York. You know what I mean? Exactly.
Like, the big city.
Oh, go back to New York.
Yep.
Like, New York's this, like, ridiculous place. It is a ridiculous place. But, like, there was always, like, go back to New York, and, you know, you're this IRA member who's coming back, who's kind of Irish royalty, is coming back to the, you know, to fight in the troubles, now go back to New York City. And then, you know, but then there's also Jackie Chan who has like, and then they also kind of flirt with the fact that he was like trained by the US military. You know, during
Vietnam.
Yeah, what they're doing is they're taking all of the action trends from probably 2000, from Jason Bourne James Bond, Pierce Brosnan, until today, and they just kind of sprinkle it throughout the movies, you know, where it's like, oh, you're Manhattan born, but you are in the CIA, and it's kind of just, I don't know.
It was just such a weird movie. We got one of the craziest, like, funniest scenes from my perspective is Jackie Chan treating a bullet wound where he's cauterizing it, and it hurt.
Yes.
It's so painful that he starts having flashbacks. He just... I was laughing so hard in the theater.
Here's the best part. He had scars all over him, right?
Yep.
But when he cauterizes with a knife, the scar is long, but he puts the short end of the knife on the long.
It's like a full
wound.
Knife. Just
exactly.
A perfect knife burn on him.
Yeah, so it's not really exactly cauterizing. Yeah, I don't know. It was just bad.
I just love that's all of a sudden, boom. Flashback scene. Why do we need this?
Exactly. Now we're going to go back to the 70s or 80s or whatever.
This is.
Oh, man.
So let me ask you a question, Yinzer.
Like Rambo. There was like a Rambo reference.
Yes. Yeah. That's why it's the fucking 80s, man.
Yeah, it's the 80s. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question here.
So many questions. So many questions that will never be answered. And I really hope they don't do a sequel.
God. I don't know how they can. Jackie Chan, his wife, she died giving birth to that daughter that, like, dies in the beginning, correct?
Yeah. We're just going to pile on the tragedies.
So my question is for you, who the fuck was that other chick that he kisses at the end of the movie?
Oh, Oksana and I were laughing about that.
Because I was like, wait, I thought his wife was dead. They just...
No. That was some Asian broad that was kind of like working at the restaurant or whatever.
But why did they start making out?
I don't know. Let's not start pulling threads here.
That's why I think the movie forgot. I think the director forgot during the movie that they had killed off the wife, and then that was supposed to be his wife.
No, that wasn't supposed to be the wife. Listen, so that was like the noodle. Like, I don't know. That was his kind of girlfriend on the side. But here's the best part. So Oksana and I are watching the movie, right? And in the beginning, she had like black, thick black, like, you know, Asian hair, whatever you know what I call it, and then at the end, her hair was like salt and pepper. So Oksana like started elbowing me. She's like, "Hey, look, she aged."
Yeah,
She aged the 2 weeks, and I guess he was out fighting, and then they came and made out, and that was also
bada bing, bada boom.
Yeah, that's it. Now they have another kid.
I like the interactions between Pierce Brosnan and Jackie Chan in this. Jackie Chan is like the overly polite guy that's also threatening.
So yeah, like, it's kind of racist.
Yeah, well, that's what my notes here were. Was Jackie Chan actually threatening Pierce Brosnan, or was this a language and cultural barrier that Pierce Brosnan was just taking as a threat? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's just like, you will give me the numbers, thank you, and then walks away. Where, who knows? And maybe Jackie Chan, his character's English is supposed to be so bad where he's actually trying to be polite and not threatening him, but it comes across to Pierce Brosnan like, this dude's gonna fucking try to kill me.
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know. It was, but I liked it. You know,
it was fun. I liked what they did with Pierce Brosnan, because that was not what I was expecting. I thought he was gonna be just, you know, the typical bad guy that knows everything, has this elaborate scheme. When you start getting into it, you start figuring out that he has no fucking clue what's going on, and he's genuinely trying to figure out what's going on.
But then at the end, he does know what's going on.
At the end, he kind of knows a little bit, but I just like that.
Yeah, that's another thing that was kind of bizarre. It was like, is he in on it? Is this kind of like one of those usual suspect kind of endings where, oh, he knew the whole time. And
it was actually him.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. It was bizarre. It was a good time though. It was nice. But I recommend going to see it. You wanna wrap up here?
Yeah, we can wrap it up. What do you?
How we doing on time?
We're about 25 minutes.
Perfect.
Yeah. Do you want to give up your summary?
Let's wrap this racist Irish fucking piece of
Chinese immigrant. Oh, how about that? They kept calling him a Chinaman during the entire movie.
Yeah.
And that's the fucking 80s too, man. That's the goddamn 80s too. Like, if the script was written in 2000, anytime past 2010, they would have not used the word Chinaman anywhere.
I don't know if they were trying to discredit the IRA or whatever. They were just trying to, like, or they were just saying, like, because,
oh,
I don't
God.
Know. Yeah, because they called him, they called him a Chinaman on, like multiple times.
At least, like, five times.
At least five.
I like at the very end, too, you see the, based on the book, The Chinaman.
Yeah,
God. Yeah, you wanna do your summary, what you thought, and give it your ratings.
And the basic summary is that the movie was actually pretty decent. I'm actually kind of I don't know how I feel about bringing the IRA back into the mix. I feel like we're beating a dead horse, but you know, as Greg pointed out, there was the 80s that kind of. You know, where we're tying off loose ends, I guess, maybe. We're bringing the IRA back into the fold. But if you're listening to this, one of our 80,000 fans, it's not a Jackie Chan movie. It's an IRA movie. And there's a Chinaman running amok.
Yeah. This crazy foreign Chinaman.
yeah, exactly. That's kind of more the plot of the movie. But I genuinely liked it. I mean, in the realm of I guess action films. I guess you would call it action films, more of a gangster film.
Like a thriller, kind of.
Five or
right?
six. Yeah, like I usually say in the cast, I wouldn't spend money to go see it. But and if you're after after the Steelers lost on like a West Coast game, the game ends around 7, you know, and check it out. And then before you go to bed, it's actually not that bad.
Yeah.
It's pretty decent. The action's pretty good. I mean, like, shit. Jackie Chan's 61 years old.
That's crazy. It's crazy.
And he whoops a little ass, but not, you know, not so much that it's unbelievable.
Right. I'm pretty much on the same page with you. It was a batshit crazy movie. It was all over the place.
Batshit.
Yeah, Yeah, it was. And but it was fun still, though. Like, I was laughing. I don't think it was supposed to, I don't know. Hopefully they weren't trying to make like a serious, like a Taken type movie. Because yeah, they did not do that if that was what they were trying to do. But it's still fun. Yeah, it's not really Jackie Chan's movie at all. You get a few good fight scenes with him, but it's mostly, it's Pierce Brosnan. And I thought his character was interesting enough, and he was kind of an idiot enough to make it believable that he didn't really know what was going on.
Yeah.
And yeah, if you go watch this, keep it in the back of your mind that some dude wrote this when he was super high on cocaine in the 80s, and it will make way more sense to you. For me, yeah, this, I think I give this a 6. It's not the best movie, but it was a fun movie. So
yeah.
I walked out, I was smiling, I was laughing, but you don't need to go see this in the theater. This is, wait for it on Netflix. Wait for it to come out for a buck on Redbox. Don't go out of your way to see it. It's not, if you're a Jackie Chan lover, it's not one that you're going to need to see right away to, you know, like, ooh, is it up there with all the other greats? No, it's just a fucking crazy 80s movie.